This is Maria with The Why, from Success to Startup Show, bringing you the whys of entrepreneurship on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3, SoCalArmenian.com.
Hello, welcome to Startup to Success with Maria. Today, my guest is Hannah Brenner-Katz, founder and CEO of graphic design studio HBK Design and co-founder of social media agency Canna Creative Agency. Hannah, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me today. I'm so excited.
We're so excited to have you on board too. So we're just going to jump in. As you know, we love entrepreneurs and you're such an inspiration for me because your background, obviously, you know, we've met when we were working for a low society, New York Times, but you always stood out as I just knew that you had that entrepreneurial mentality, mindset.
And well, that means so much coming from you.
And it's so amazing to watch you grow. You know, I remember from inception all the way to creation. And I can't tell you how excited I am today to have you on the show, because I've seen how you've built your both studios from literally just talking about it and then from inception all the way to creation. So I would love to jump in and start learning about your journey and what inspired you.
Of course. So I was working in retail management in around 2014. And, you know, it just wasn't fulfilling me in the way that I wanted it to. So I made the decision to go back to school. And that was honestly the best decision I've ever made in my life. So I went back to school to study graphic design. And I knew I always wanted to freelance, but it just wasn't right coming out of school. I needed some more experience. I needed some more connections. So I spent a few years in the agency space. I was with you at Hello Society, the New York Times company. And then after I was in the agency world for a little bit, I just knew that there was more. I knew that I would be able to build up my own businesses. I knew that working for somebody else wasn't necessarily my calling or how I truly felt inspired. So I made the decision to leave and start freelancing. And from there, I built up my graphic design studio, which is HBK Design. I work a lot with social media clients, marketing clients, a lot of different agencies. And then from there, I also co-founded a social media studio called Canna Creative Agency. We work with a lot of cannabis clients, but we also sort of have our hands in different verticals all over the place. We love working with small businesses. We love being able to really make a difference. We love working with female owned companies. Now that I'm out on my own, I'm so much more inspired, and it's just 100% what I always wanted in my life.
So speaking of being out on your own, I remember a lot of times we would talk about these things in the beginning phases, especially, the risks and the opportunities. How did you make that decision to take the leap? A lot of people that are probably listening to us have the talent or the skill set that they know that they could possibly venture out on their own and start their own company, but they don't know how to make that decision and take that leap. So I would love to know, how did you make your decision? Like, how did you consider, like, okay, do I need to save a certain amount of money, or do I need to do this and that? Like, I would love to know.
Yeah. So I'm an introvert, so it's hard for me to admit this, but networking is absolutely everything. It's really all who you know. And so I was working at Hello Society, but I started building a freelance business outside of that at the same time. And so, you know, I had a few clients here and there, and I was getting really positive responses. And I was able to sit down and budget and come up with a spreadsheet and figure out, you know, this is how much I need to make. These are how many clients I'll need to have if I'm making this much. And then from there, I just really sort of shouted out to my network in any way possible that I was going on my own, that I was looking for work. I was lucky enough that I was in a position that I gave my job 1 month notice. So that gave me some time to start building up even more freelance clients. And by the time I left, I was really lucky to have a really solid set of really great clients. And the majority were just people that I'd worked with in the past. some people that I'd gone to school with, friends of friends. It's really who you know. And I think that building a solid network is the absolute most important first step.
I agree with that. I agree 100% because I feel like every venture I've jumped into, I've always known somebody in my network of people that the minute I said, hey, I'm starting this company, like five people would, you know, raise their hands and say, hey, I know so-and-so you should talk to, or
yeah.
I know a little bit about this industry. Let me give you advice. Like, it's just, I think my challenge a lot of times was asking and
announcing. And you have to put yourself out there. Yeah, it's so scary.
I wouldn't. And I still sometimes don't. That's my problem that I have to work on.
Yeah.
And maybe it's the generation that we're in. Like, you know, we're not like, you guys are a younger generation. So for you to put something out there on social media, it's so much easier for me.
No, it's like, still scary. It's a big jump.
Yeah. For me,
you just kind of have to throw shame out the window.
I know. For me, as you know, with Roma Leaf, I kept that away from a lot of people for a long time. I just started overanalyzing and thinking, is this going to affect my agency business? Are my clients going to mind that I have my own company and so on? So it was a lot of sort of internal, I guess, debates, right? But then after the pandemic, I was like, who cares what anybody thinks?
Yeah, 100%.
I can have 10 different companies if I want. It's
totally,
it's nobody's business.
And that's one way. That's one way I feel like you and I can really relate is I get bored easily and I just love to have a million things going on at once. And I think a lot of people look at that and think that you're not able to really focus and put the passion into each individual project. But I think when your brains are built like ours, it's right. So important to stay interested and stay inspired. And by working on different projects, I think it really keeps my brain active and moving, and I'm able to, you know, give 100% in a different way.
I agree. And it's so interesting you mentioned that because that's been my struggle. I want to say the last maybe 2 months specifically, where I've been trying to focus on one thing at a time. Because especially now being pregnant and wanting to empty out all the projects on my plate, you know, just trying to just make room for the baby. It's been really difficult for me to focus on one thing. I don't know how to. I don't know. And I remember this one particular Sunday, I was sitting down and I was trying to create this like almost like a flow chart of how I'm going to reorganize things, because at the moment I have Roma Leaf and I've got this, you know, podcast and the radio show going, and then I have Globify. So it's three different sort of entities in a sense, right? With three different target audiences and three different marketing campaigns and all of that. It's just a lot of things. Plus on top of it, Globify has its own clients that have their own marketing campaigns. So it's a lot. But then at one point when I was trying to get organized, I realized I'm not able to. Like, it's so much. And I'm so used to pushing 3, 4, 5 things at once, where I didn't know how to take one, choose one and push that first and then choose the second one. I was like, I can't, I don't know.
It's your superpower.
I got frustrated at that superpower for a minute.
I understand completely.
And then I stopped and I said, wait a minute, this is a talent. Stop beating yourself up for this. Like, this is a good thing. People would wish to be able to push 3 things at once, or in my case, you know, 10 different campaigns at once, or, you know, whatever.
I think it comes down to society has told us that we need to focus on one thing and make that one thing our priority. And if we, you know, it even comes down to, like, you know, you're talking about how you're pregnant now and people expect women to just have a child and nothing else. And that's so outdated and so, you know, just what society has always told us. And I think that we have it ingrained in us that we're supposed to just focus on one thing and we can't give multiple things our all. But I really do think that having my attention in different places is what keeps me inspired and what keeps me from getting uninterested.
So my next question is going to be, and I want to talk about this because I need your help sort of, okay, with this. So in terms of keeping things organized, how do you, obviously you're working on multiple projects at the same time, you've got all these different clients, you've got two agencies. How do you prioritize your workflow? Like, do you have certain days that are scheduled for certain clients? Or I would love to hear the organizational part.
Yeah, definitely. So from a really basic perspective, I'm a really visual person and I need to have a physical planner. I've tried so many times to use the calendar on my phone, but I really need to be able to see everything visually laid out in front of me. And along with that, sort of my favorite to-do list sort of a method is I write everything on post-it notes. I have a wall with a bunch of post-it notes and I prioritize things in order with the post-it notes. I have different colors for different tasks. And then as I complete it, I can just completely take it off the wall and it's out of sight, out of mind. So that's just kind of the most basic way that I stay organized.
I like that.
Yeah. I also, for Canna Creative Agency, we use Slack quite a bit for project management. A lot of people just use Slack to message back and forth, but we found a way to make it work quite well for project management. We also use Asana, which is another really great project management software. And then personally, I do something called the Pomodoro method, and you can download different timers. And essentially I will work for 30 minutes without taking any breaks, focusing on one task. So if that task is responding to emails, I am just responding to emails. I'm not responding to emails and finishing up a deck at the same time. I really make sure that I just focus on one task at a time. That task has my 100% attention. And then after those 30 minutes are done, I give myself a 15 minute break. I like to get up, go for a walk, make sure I drink some water, stretch, really try to give myself those 15 minutes without focusing on any work. And then when that 15 minutes is done, another 30 minute block will begin and I will give my complete focus to whatever task I am now transitioning into.
And that method is called Pomodoro.
Pomodoro.
Okay. I think that's what I need to implement. Cause
it's really life changing.
Okay. And one thing I started doing in terms of organizing, because I'm visual too, just like you, see things visually, but then I kept sort of toggling between so many different project management tools and flow charts. And at one point we started using Milo Note, which is really awesome. It's visual. And I created all my sort of ideas, mapped it out. But then they're so small and when I print it, I can't see it. And I like to have it in front of my desk. And I think what I'm going to do is apply your method of just having post-it notes, color coordinated, and just kind of have it in front of me so that I don't forget.
It's so simple, but I personally have really terrible ADHD. And so I've had to, which I think is why it's our superpower. It's why we want to focus on so many things.
Right.
And I think that when you utilize it, you really can turn it around and turn it into your superpower and use it to just absolutely conquer multiple things. But you definitely need to find the methods that work best for you. And post-it notes are so simple and it's just something that's worked really well for me. I like that when I finish something, it's off the wall. I don't have to think about it again.
Yeah. And there's something about just like getting rid of like that, just the just tearing it apart and being done.
Exactly.
It's just such a joy. My next question is going to be obviously about social media. I love your designs. I love your work. I obviously have been watching you guys grow from all the way inception, all the way to now. You guys are so successful. I would love to know what, for especially startups to, I guess a year old company is sort of a startup. And I'm going to bring Roma Leaf as an example a lot because what we're doing right now is doing our social media internally. And one of the reasons why we're doing it internal in-house is because I've been tracking sales and I find that social media doesn't necessarily generate much sales for us, but I do see the importance. But at the same time, I don't really know how to optimize it so that we do start seeing more sales. Although the influencer marketing has been doing really well for us. So that's what we want to move more towards. But I would love to get your thoughts on, you know, what suggestions you have that somebody like me who can't necessarily allocate a huge budget to hire an agency and they're doing it in-house, what are the top things they should think about when it comes to social media?
So social media is ever changing, ever evolving. And I would say the biggest thing right now is video. Our clients are seeing so much organic success when they are pushing out reels on Instagram. And I know that, you know, CBD clients can be a little bit tricky because there are, you know, different rules and regulations. But there's definitely always ways to work around that and to work with our clients. We really do like pushing reels. The really interesting thing about using reels is that you'll reach a brand new audience instead of just reaching the audience that you already have. And so that's one reason why we're really pushing that forward. The other thing is, I think a lot of people are focusing a little bit too much on video and forgetting about the quality of their current feed. When somebody clicks on your profile, they're going to decide within 2 seconds if they're going to follow you or not. So it's really important that your bio says exactly what you do. And it's, you know, a quick summary to give people a quick reference. And then also just having a visually stunning feed is really important. It's something I think a lot of brands tend to overlook, but because of how quick people are to follow or not follow and how short people's attention spans are in 2021, it's really important that you have something visually catchy and, you know, something that just draws people in and makes them want to stay around. So on top of really pushing video, we're still really, really trying to keep our clients, to have cohesive feeds, to keep things cohesive across, you know, different, social media platforms, and then just coming back to video and really pushing out those reels.
That's amazing. I'm so glad you mentioned video and reels, because that's right before that we were having a meeting, and, that's pretty much all we wanted to prioritize and focus on, because we feel like the engagement we're getting from regular static posts aren't there. And so yeah, we want to minimize that. In terms of platforms, and I know obviously every brand is different and target audience is different, but in terms of the top two or three platforms that you would recommend for us, for example, to prioritize, what would those platforms be?
So there's really four platforms we focus on, and that's Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and TikTok. TikTok really does tend to reach a bit of a younger audience. We're definitely seeing some success with clients that are trying to reach an older audience, but for the most part, TikTok is younger. So for a brand like yours, I would definitely suggest mostly Instagram, like heavily Instagram. It's always good to have a Facebook page, and it's always good to have a Twitter.
Awesome. Yeah. We're getting into TikTok slowly, very slowly, but
TikTok is great. It's definitely a beast. Yeah. And, you know, what I recommend is if you're pushing stuff out to Reels, push it out to TikTok. If you're making TikToks, put that on Reels as well. Like, we just recommend reutilizing content across the board whenever possible. And then one really sort of specific tip is when you're uploading Reels, you can pick a cover image and you can post that to your feed as well. So we always recommend having some sort of graphic or an image used as your cover image. So then that post can also live on your feed as well. And that will attract more attention and, you know, help that post live on.
Oh, I love that. I didn't know that we could pick a cover image in Reels, because it's kind of, sometimes the videos, the beginning of it, it's just not so appealing. And we put it on Instagram feed and it doesn't look so good.
Yeah.
That's a great idea, but Instagram would allow us to select to choose cover image, or
as long as it's saved in your camera roll, you can upload anything as the cover.
Oh, okay, good to know.
Yeah, it's a little thing, but you know, it's another way. I guess a really big tip that I would have for you is just to reutilize content in any way possible. Like, you can re-optimize posts. You know, you make one video, that post can go on Reels, that post can go on your feed, that post can go on TikTok, that post. You know, there's so many places you can reutilize that content.
And do hashtags play a huge role in Reels at all? Or
absolutely. I recommend about 15 hashtags when you're using Reels. And I also recommend that you try to engage with other content creators that are posting Reels. So, you know, scrolling through Reels, leaving comments, just genuinely engaging with other creators will also help your Reels gather quite a bit more attention.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3, SoCalArmenian.com.